This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, we now move on to hadith number eight, بإذنالله تعالى, of the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have the companion Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. He narrates, as for his biography, then we have already gone through his biography in hadith number 3. Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. Islam has been built upon 5 matters. So we went through his detailed biography then, and there's no point repeating those matters insha'Allah. We move on to the next matter, the takhrij of this hadith. This hadith has been reported by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim and others, Imam al-Bayhaqi, Ibn Hibban and many, many others. We have similar ahadith to this, narrated by Nu'man ibn Bashir, Anas ibn Malik, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, and Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. Some of the ulama stated that this hadith is mutawatir. Some of them stated that it is mutawatir. Mutawatir meaning that we have so many narrations with regards to this hadith that there's no chance that this could be fake. There's no chance that they could have all agreed upon a lie. And thus it is mutawatir insha'Allah. Number 3, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, general comments related to this hadith. We repeat the hadith insha'Allah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ. I have been ordered to fight the people. حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Until they testify that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah, and that Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَىٰ. And they establish the prayer. وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاءَ. And they give the zakah. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ. If they do that, عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ, then their blood, it would be sanctified, it would be sacred, we would not spill it. وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ, and their wealth, their property, also sanctified and sacred. إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ, except by the haq of Islam. For example, this individual has committed a crime, and thus due to the haq of al-Islam, there's a penalty behind this matter. وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and their hisab, their accountability, their reckoning will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith is super important. Why? Because it states the grounds and the purpose for combat in al-Islam. It also declares that, it declares when a person's blood and a person's wealth are inviolable, that they are secure, they are sanctified, and when it's not. This hadith also important because it declares when the death penalty would be applied, certain circumstances where the death penalty would be applied. There are also, as we mentioned, other narrations of this hadith. Some of them, for example, important to go through, because putting all the narrations together gives us a whole understanding of this hadith, a comprehensive understanding of this hadith. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, I have been ordered to fight the people until they say يَقُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Previous narration, يَشْهَدُوا, this one is يَقُولُوا, they state. فَإِذَا قَالُوهَا, if they say it, وَصَلُّوا صَلَاتَنَا, and they pray like our prayer. وَاسْتَقْبَلُوا قِبْلَتَنَا, and they face towards our qibla. وَذَبَحُوا ذَبِيحَتَنَا, and they slaughter our animals, they slaughter like the manner that we slaughter. فَقَدْ حَرُمَتْ عَلَيْنَا دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That haram upon us is their blood, their wealth, except from the haq of al-Islam, and their reckoning is with Allah. That narration in Sahih al-Bukhari. We have the other narration in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. فَمَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, whoever says لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, فَقَدْ عَصَمَ مِنِّي نَفْسَهُ, then he has protected himself. وَمَا لَهُ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ وَحِسَابُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Similar wording. Third one, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Look at this added wording. وَيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, and they need to believe in me, believe in the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Previous two narrations did not mention Rasul of Allah. But this narration mentions clearly, وَيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, and they have to believe in me. وَبِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ, and in whatever I have come with. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If they do this, then their wealth and their blood is sanctified except with the haqq of al-Islam, and their reckoning is with Allah. And the last of these narrations, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, whoever says لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, وَكَفَرَ بِمَا يُعْبَدْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and they disbelieve in whatever is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَرُمَ مَالَهُ وَدَمُهُ وَحِسَابُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, then his wealth and his blood is sanctified and his reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The detailed explanation بإذن الله تعالى. Our Rasul, our Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, أُمِرْتُ, I have been ordered. Who ordered him? The one who ordered is not mentioned explicitly in this hadith, but obviously it's understood, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's no human being, there's no one on earth above the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His orders come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no human above him, rather the being above him is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you find the companion saying that we were ordered to do such and such. We were ordered to do such and such. Who gave them the order? None other than the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's the default until proven otherwise. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ, I have been ordered to fight the people. To fight the nas, fight the people. There's a difference between qatil, jayid qatil, qital rather, qital and qatil. Qital means to fight, and qatil means to kill. You might fight somebody, but you might not kill them. Jayid, you might fight somebody, but you might not kill them. And you might kill somebody who you did not fight. Allah musta'an. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, I have been ordered to fight, wage jihad. So, jihad has been legislated. The nas here, fight the people. Who's the people? Some of the ulama said it's the mushriks of the Arabs. The mushrik Arabs. And this is the opinion of majority of the scholars. They said because the Ahl al-Kitab, we don't only have the option of fighting them, the Jews and the Christians. The other option is available, and that's the payment of the jizya. The payment of the tribute payment of the jizya. And so that applies upon them. So majority of the ulama state, who is meant by this hadith, fighting against who? The mushrik Arabs. It could also mean that they are fought until they accept the dominance of Allah's law. Not that they accept La ilaha illallah in that they become Muslims, because La ikraha fi deen, there is no compulsion in religion. So, there's no compulsion in religion. But then how do we understand this hadith? Why are you then fighting them, Ya Rasulullah? We fight them, as is the other interpretation, that it could mean that they are fought until they accept the dominance of Allah's law. They might not become Muslim, but they accept the dominance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law. And this could be attained via either fighting, or for example, them paying the jizya, or for example, a peace accord between us and them, etc. Various means could help us achieve that end. We also learn that jihad has been, we know that jihad was legislated after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, there was no jihad. Jihad in the context of fighting, this was not legislated. Rather, you turn the other cheek. You turn the other cheek in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Later on, kutiba alaykum al-qital, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Baqarah, verse number 216, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ, that it is not liked by you. It is not liked by you, subhanAllah. You dislike it. And Allah mentions how many times maybe something you dislike but it's good for you, and something you like but it's not good for you. Allah musta'an. Allah knows and we do not know. So jihad in the context of fighting, combat, then this was legislated after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus we learn from this hadith that fighting has been sanctioned in al-Islam. It's not just we turn the other cheek. No, not at all. Not at all times do we just turn the other cheek. Jihad is a means for spreading the truth and for spreading justice. It's not only in defense. You have offensive jihad and you have defensive jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. Fighting has been legislated upon those who have been oppressed. We know obviously today, as is stated, for example, the West would state and tell us that, it is uncivilized to fight in the name of religion. Uncivilized to fight in the name of religion. But subhanAllah, their troops are all over the globe defending and fighting in the name of democracy and capitalism. So is that not a double standard? Allahumusta'an. Also take note, brothers and sisters, umirtu an uqatil an-nas, I've been ordered to fight the people. With regards to the disbelievers, then you have various categories. You have the Ahl al-Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, people of the book, and their special rules related to them. And the Majus are also included with them with regards to certain rules. Then you have Ahlul Hudna, people that we have an agreement with, we have some truce with, we have some sort of a treaty with. Then you have Ahlul Dhimma, the non-Muslims who live within the Muslim state and they pay the jizya, Ahlul Dhimma. Then you have Ahlul Aman, these individuals who enter the land of the Muslims, but we've given them, for example, like the visa, etc., we've given them a safe passage, so they have this contract between us and them that they are in a state of safety and we cannot harm them. Then you have muharibun, those that we are at war with, those that we are fighting with. So you have various categories of these types of individuals. حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, until they testify that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and that Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah. So in some narrations, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ is mentioned. Some of them not mentioned. Jayid. Some of them, وَأَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِي, and that they must believe in me. The shahadatain enters them into al-Islam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadu Rasulullah. Or in the words of testification, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the statement, their blood is now sacred, their blood is now sanctified, their wealth, their property, all of this here is now sanctified. We all know the famous hadith with regards to Usama. Usama was fighting in battle with this individual. He got the better of him. The man gave his testification. The man gave his shahada, and Usama still killed the man. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimanded Usama severely. أَقَتَلْتَهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, did you kill him after he said لا إله إلا الله? Usama said, Ya Rasulullah, the man only said this to save his life. In battle now, the man just said that because he wanted to save his life. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَقَتَلْتَهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, you killed him after he said لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Subhanallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on repeating that. And Usama said, I hope like I only embraced Islam, after that time. Allah musta'an. What a grand error Usama radiallahu ta'ala an had made. He took the life of this man after this man had given his shahada. And Usama said, Ya Rasulullah, he's only saying this to save his life. He only said it to save his life. That's all. There was no sincerity behind that statement. Subhanallah, we judge by the apparent, brothers and sisters. Important qa'idah, important principle with regards to the ahkam of this dunya, we judge a person by the apparent. And apparently they said la ilaha illallah, khalas, then we will accept from them that. As for what's their intention in the heart, then we have not been ordered to open up the bodies and look into the hearts, etc., etc. We judge by the apparent. A man had come to this masjid in Nigeria and he wanted to embrace al-Islam. The imam said, you know what, I'm just busy right now, I'm going for salah, come back in about 15-20 minutes. The man leaves the masjid, got involved in something, and a stray bullet had shot him, subhanAllah, shot him dead. Then the people were in a bit of confusion. Is he Muslim? Is he not Muslim? Do we bury him? Do we perform ghusl, etc. over him? Do we bury him in a Muslim graveyard? What's the ruling? The man came to the masjid. Internally, he was convinced about the truthfulness of al-Islam. But subhanAllah, he did not give his shahada. And the rule with regards to this dunya is that we judge by what? We judge by the apparent. And apparently he did not give his shahada. He did not come with the key of al-Islam. Thus, in terms of this dunya, we will say that he was not a Muslim. But as for the hereafter, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges us in the hereafter based upon our internal and not our external. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And thus, maybe this man would be on a higher level in paradise than even us, Allahu musta'an. Brothers and sisters, as a brother he once mentioned, he says that you might give a lecture, you might have a presentation, whatever it might be, you know, the world, no matter how noble your presentation might be, the world judges you by your presentation. No matter how noble your intention might have been, how noble your intention, how noble your attitude, how noble your reason behind this presentation, the world will only judge you by your outward presentation. Whereas, as beautiful, as convincing your presentation might be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges you by the nobility of your intention. Allah judges you by the nobility of your intention. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa amwalikum, walakin yanzur ila qulub. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa amwalikum. Allah does not look at your form and your wealth, walakin yanzur ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. But Allah looks at your hearts and your action. Brothers and sisters, that hadith of Usama taught us what? Taught us that we judge by the apparent, and this man apparently came with the shahadatain, and thus Usama was incorrect in taking his life. We also stated that there's a difference between qital, which means fighting, and qatl, which means to kill. We also, subhanAllah, see from this hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَىٰ, that if this person establishes the prayer, then this person's blood and property is sanctified. The converse meaning would be that, well, if you do not establish the prayer, then your blood and your property is not really sanctified, it's not really safe. And that is the opinion of minority amount of scholars. For example, Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Shafi'i, the opinion of majority of the scholars, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Imam Shukani, and others, of the opinion that the one who does not pray at all, then the penalty for this would be what? Would be the death penalty. The death penalty. This is capital punishment for this crime, subhanAllah. Obviously, this is not up to me and you. This is a matter of the judiciary. The man would be arrested. He would be taken to court. They would try to convince him to pray. They would give him a few days to repent and start praying. But if after all of that is said and done, he still then chooses not to pray, then the capital punishment would be applied upon him. And proof from this hadith, the fact that the Prophet ﷺ said, when you say the shahada, when you establish the prayer and you give the zakah, then your blood and your wealth is sanctified. So if you do not do these, then your blood technically is not sanctified. Allahu musta'an. We know that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, with regards to zakah, those individuals who refused to pay the zakah, then he fought, he sent the armies of Khalid ibn Walid and others to fight against them until they began to pay the zakah. Walhamdulillah. Yes, there were some the wars of Ridda, the Hurub al-Ridda. Some of them denied zakah, so they were out of the fold of al-Islam. Some of them, said we don't believe in zakah any longer, out of the fold of al-Islam. Some individuals claimed that so and so was a prophet, Musaylima al-Kadhab, and others, they just said, no, zakah was for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not for the people after him. So they did not deny, but rather, they were not paying up. And thus Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, they were large in number, etc. And he sent the armies against them. Walhamdulillah. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. If they do this, if they give the shahada, if they establish the prayer and they pay the zakah, then their wealth and their blood is sanctified. إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ. Except what? Unless they do an act which is punishable according to the rights of al-Islam, according to the laws of al-Islam. Example, someone who was married, currently he's married, and then he was found guilty of fornication. Or for example, this man, according to majority of the scholars, was married in the past, but right now he might be single, but subhanAllah, he also fornicated, and we have proof against him, then the death penalty would apply. As it was applied upon Ma'iz radiallahu ta'ala an, as it was applied upon that female who had also fallen into zina during the time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Similarly, you took the life of another, you killed this individual, you murdered somebody, then an eye for an eye, a life for a life, Allahumma musta'an. We find the hadith reported by Imam al-Tabarani, وَمَا حَقُّهَا. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's the haqq of La ilaha illallah? What's the haqq of al-Islam? He said, قَالَ زِنًا بَعْدَ إِحْصَان. That to fall into zina after ihsan. وَكُفْر بَعْدَ إِيمَان. To leave al-Islam, to fall into kufr after iman. وَقَتْل نَفْس. وَقَتْل نَفْس. And to take the life of another, فَيُقْتَلْ بِهَا, then your life will be taken in lieu of you taking the life of another. This hadith reported by Imam al-Tabarani, but it has some weakness in it. Brothers and sisters, we also learn, subhanAllah, the reality of the mu'min and the munafiq. The munafiq, outwardly, la ilaha illallah. But for this dunya, we judge him to be a Muslim. So there's many who we have, Salim, Ahmed, Ilyas, etc. We might judge them to be Muslimin, but the reality with Allah is that they are not. Why? Because it's just fake. It's just lip service. Allah musta'an. We had Abdullah ibn Ubay. We had Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the head of the munafiqeen during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this criminal, outwardly he said la ilaha illallah, but subhanallah, he was the head of the munafiqeen fi darkil asfali min an-nar. He will be in the lowest pits of the hellfire. Prophet Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed janazah salah over him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew 100% that this man is a munafiq, but we judge by the apparent. And apparently he's a Muslim. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed janazah over him. In fact, Umar stood in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, you're going to pray janazah over this man? You know, he did this ABC, etc. How can you pray over this man? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he said, Akhir anni ya Umar, move away from me, O Umar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed janazah salah over that man, subhanallah, that leader of the munafiqeen. And what was his kafan? He had said to his son, when I die, ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his shirt, for his vest, and let that be my kafan. The man's buried in Medina. The man's kafan was the garment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who prayed his janazah salah over him? Our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did that benefit him in any way? Did that benefit him in terms of his Jannah or his Nar? No. In fact, he is fi darkil asfali min an-nar, the lowest pits of the hellfire. Why? Because there was no heart in the matter. And we had learnt in hadith number 7 that the heart in reality, it is the king of the body. If it is correct, the rest of the body is correct. But if it is fasid, the rest of the body is also fasid. So this Abdullah ibn Ubay, mere lip service, but there was no heart in the matter. Allah musta'an. So the ahkam of this dunya, we judge by the apparent. Some general fawaid from this hadith, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We learn from this hadith that one is encouraged to spread al-Islam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to fight until the people gave gave the shahada. And as we said, this could mean that it's not necessarily that they have to embrace al-Islam, because the Quran is clear that there is no compulsion in religion. Then what is the obligation? To fight them until they accept the dominance of la ilaha illallah, that the rule is for la ilaha illallah, the rule is for al-Islam. In al-hukmu illa lillah, the hukm, the ruling, the legislation is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn the power of la ilaha illallah. These words, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, just by your mere uttering it with intention, etc., with sincerity, then your life, your blood, etc., all sanctified. Look at Usama, was fighting with that man, but when the man said la ilaha illallah, then technically Usama and that man were supposed to be on the same level. They were supposed to be in the camp of the Muslims. But Usama, he had his ijtihad, and thus he had taken the life of that man. Allahu musta'an. Another wisdom, subhanallah, with regards to la ilaha illallah, you would find that all of the letters in la ilaha illallah, and say la ilaha illallah, none of them originate from the lips. They are all from inside the chest. La ilaha illallah, inside the throat, etc. And the ulama, they pick out the wisdom behind this, and they say that this la ilaha illallah is something which is supposed to resonate from the heart, and not something which is supposed to resonate or originate from the tongue. It is coming from deep inside yourself. La ilaha illallah. It's supposed to come out with that ikhlas, because it's coming from deep down in there. Subhanallah. We also find that this hadith is a rad, is a refutation of the murji'ah. And that's why Imam al-Bukhari, he brought this hadith in the chapter of Kitab al-Iman. Because this hadith shows us that actions are also part and parcel of al-Iman. Actions are also part of faith. They are a part of faith. We find Salah is mentioned and the matter of Zakah mentioned here. And thus, Salah and Zakah form part and parcel of a'mal, of actions, and actions are also a component of iman. We find that some of the ulama, they said that some said that la ilaha illallah, the angels do not take this up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All your actions are taken up by the angels except la ilaha illallah. Why? Because Allah mentions in the noble Quran, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ, that the good word, it rises up to Allah. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ, and the good deeds are also raised to Allah. So they said that كَلِمَ الطَّيِّبُ, that إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ, that the good word, which is لا إله إلا الله, it rises up to Allah on its own. Whereas all your other actions, the angels, they take it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful, subhanallah. Imam al-Razi, he mentioned that. And as we said, لا إله إلا الله, none of the letters of it originate from the lip. They are all from within yourself. Alhamdulillah. And this hadith also a refutation of those who claim that, you know what, all the religions are equal, all of them are the same, all of them on the same footing. This hadith is a refutation of that. Why? Because if they were on the same footing, if they were all equal, then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not say that I have been ordered to fight. What's the point of fighting if they're all equal? But rather they are not equal. In al-hukmu illa lillah, the hukm is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ad-deena inda Allahi al-Islam, the true deen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Islam. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we only have about 3 minutes left, and there's no point in beginning hadith number 9. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we will end off here, and thus we've now completed 8 ahadith from the 40 ahadith of that scholar, that imam, that zahid, that alim, that muslih, and that salih one, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to record our sitting, our listening, our learning in our scales of good deeds. We learned from this hadith the power of la ilaha illallah. And say it when you are standing, when you are sitting down, when you are lying down. Say la ilaha illallah. For verily, it is the best of words to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The power of this la ilaha illallah, that an individual's blood, his wealth, all of this is sanctified. This individual wants to marry your daughter. You want to marry that Muslim female. You have to come with La ilaha illallah first. Then only would she be halal to you. Subhanallah. The power of La ilaha illallah. And we also learn the importance of the salah and the zakah. If they do this, it is sanctified. Illa bihaqqil Islam. But there are exceptions. You kill another, fornicate, etc. Then the capital punishment would apply. And at the end of the day, for everyone, the criminal and the non-criminal, وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And our hisab, our reckoning, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that scholar, he said, I prefer that Allah does my hisab than my own mother. They said, why? He says, because Allah is more merciful upon me and will be more merciful upon me than my own mother on that day. When that day, when people will be running away from one another, each one is trying to take the good deeds of the other, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most merciful. حياكم الله يا إخوان والأخوات. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Until we meet again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.